Hey, 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 nurse bosses. Today we have a special episode for a few reasons. For one, this week we are talking to Ayanna Davison, who is a certified nurse midwife and women's health nurse practitioner who started her Instagram platform, The Vagina Chronicles. That's right, The Vagina Chronicles, to chronicle all things related to the vagina and birthing. Ayanna offers home births in her community and is gearing up to open her own birthing center that has everything an expecting mom and family could wish for on their journey to motherhood. Ayanna and I actually met at an IV hydration training in Florida, many states away, only to find out that we lived very, very close in proximity and we even worked for the same hospital. So this episode is also special because it's dropping during Black Maternal Health Week, in which we talked greatly about in this episode as it is a topic that is very near and dear to our hearts, because the statistics show that Black women are 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. Ayanna shines a light on what is driving these statistics and also reminds us that Black birth is still magical, it's still beautiful, and it can be safe with the right support. So we hope you love listening to this episode just as much as we loved recording.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Nurse Boss Chef. It's your girl, Dr. Kiana Jones.
And I'm Crystal P, the beauty NP.
And as always, today we have another special guest, Miss Ayanna Davison, who's going to come in and drop some fire. She is a nurse and she is an entrepreneur. And I want to ask, I'll dive in a little bit deep onto the questions I want to ask you. I haven't decided quite yet. And I'm also excited because I get to learn a lot during these podcasts, you guys. So Ayanna, if you could give a little bit of background about yourself, like how long you've been a nurse and like what's your background?
So my name is Ayanna Davison. As she said, I am a nurse and a certified nurse midwife / women's health nurse practitioner. I've been practicing in that advanced practice space for the last 8 years. And then prior to that, I've been a nurse since 2009. 14 years? 15 years?
2009 would be 15 years.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, yeah.
15 years.
Wow, yeah. Yay! Nurse first, always.
You, yeah, right. Exactly. So Ayanna, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I have been a nurse since 2009, so 15 years, and been a nurse midwife and women's nurse health practitioner for the last 8 years. And it's been just a wonderful journey. I've practiced both in the hospital, home birth, and then home space as well.
Okay, so midwife, women's health nurse practitioner. What state are you out of?
California.
Oh, you're in Cali.
I'm right here.
Okay. SoCal?
Yes.
Okay,
Riverside.
What part? Riverside. Yes. More specifically. Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And so you've been a nurse midwife for how long?
For the last 8 years.
For the last 8 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What made you want to look at vaginas all the time? Let's just be straight to it. It's not my thing. I just remember being in clinicals. You know how they say, like, you go through clinicals to find out, like, what area you want to work in? Clinical is my time to find out what I didn't want to do. And as soon as I was in my rotation for the OB and peds, I was like,
I'm out.
This is not
Well, I was like fully invested, but I already knew I wanted to go on this track. I knew that this is what I wanted to do before I started nursing school. I'm a pre-med biology major. So nursing was essentially a second degree for me. And so I was like, I took the MCAT thinking I was going to be an OBGYN.
Okay.
So this is already in the works.
Wow. Okay.
And then I got to a post-bac program and I was like, oh, this is not for me. And so ended up going on the nursing route. Best decision of my life. I, from there, just kind of like, it feels like the door's open. Not that it wasn't hard, but it was like, this is part of what I'm supposed to be doing. So I knew when we did our OB rotation, I was the one who was like, so excited. Yeah. Like, get me in these births. And I think, you know, there's memes out there, like what I do, what my friends and family think I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not staring at vaginas all day. Although, like,
that's what I think.
It kind of is, but like, you know, a baby has to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And as midwifery is concerned, it's usually the vagina.
Right.
And so we do see quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I was almost opposite because my mom was an L&D nurse. Mm-hmm. So I was back in the day where she would take me to work and I would hear everyone screaming, and I always wanted to do that. And when I went to nursing school, the L&D rotation was so boring because we were at a, which most aren't, because we were at a place where most of the, we were close to the border. So most of the people were immigrants who paid to have births there. So we maybe had one birth that we were stuck in a room doing homework.
Yeah.
So then when we got to ER, that's when it was exciting and fast. I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to do, but I always wish that I actually went through and did that.
I cried the first time I went to the ER. I said, take me off. Wow. I started on a neurosurgery trauma step down unit. Mm-hmm. And of course you get floated from time to time. And we had like this ER prep rotation for those who were like newer. I had not even completed that. And they were like, go float. And I was like, all tears. But they were so nice to me. They were like, we're just, they were like, we're grateful for your help. We need, you know, and they like gave me manageable patients. Okay. So it was a great experience, but I'm the total opposite. Okay. Send me anywhere else.
Right. Well, I want to, you just mentioned, and I think this is a good time to talk about this too, because you said that you were pre-med and then you did post-bac and you realized this wasn't for you. And I don't know, Chris, I don't even know if you know this. I was pre-med in program was health promotion disease prevention, but all the science, I took all the sciences. Like the only thing I didn't do was take the MCATs. But let me tell you what my experience, because people think nurses, like, either they wanted to be doctors and couldn't or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, for me, when I was taking my sciences, like OChem, biochem, all that, I was in a classroom with people and I was just like, these are going to be my colleagues. Like, I was so I was so turned off from that. Then I'm like, well, what could I do? Like, I had already taken, I thought I was going to be a nurse when I was in the community college. Then when I went to USC, I was like, okay, well, I'm all in. Like, I'm about to be, right? So, but then it was that. And I was like, why do I want, that doesn't even fit in with my personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's something to be talked about.
It's
because
huge.
A lot of people think that we didn't have the potential. And the truth of the matter is,
it's
if
not.
You wanted to, though, there's nothing wrong with it if you didn't.
Right.
But if you wanted to,
it
could have
been done.
Half.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Period. It's
absolutely.
Just a matter of really taking a look at your life and seeing, does it really truly align with you and your core values and like what you want?
Right. I sat in a class, my post-bac program, I sat in a class of medical students. That was the design. And I was realizing day to day, like, the stuff they're doing is not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
For some reason, I translated medical doctor to nursing, and I don't know how I got that confused. And I was like, this is not what I want to do. And it was this questioning, like, well, what do I do next? And you know, a little bit of familial background is, my grandmother, I knew her to be a registered nurse. She's an immigrant, came from the island of Antigua. We're Caribbean people. And I knew only that of her and her sister growing up. So I come from a family of nurses. And then in her passing, when I've already made the decision to become a midwife or go on that route, I discovered she was a certified nurse midwife in the island of Antigua.
Oh.
So, like, this is like a legacy thing too. And I just think things needed to shift in that way so that I could get to where I needed to be. And I feel like this is my calling. There's nothing else I would want to do. But yeah, I sat through, and you know, I look at my colleagues now who I still do work a little bit in the hospital. I look at them and I was like, that's not the life that I wanted. And, you know, again, for whoever wants to choose that, that's for you. Great. We need doctors too. But like, that was not for me. So,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Okay. This conversation. Okay. I had to.
Oh yeah. No.
It's on way. I really was. Okay. But I did have to say that because I feel like a lot of people think that we couldn't have. Like, I had to do was take the MCAT. I just didn't, for my reasons.
Yeah.
For your reasons. And obviously for yours too, because I didn't know that about you either.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, You completed nursing school. You said 8 years you've been a midwife.
Midwife. Yes.
So that means that 7 years you were a nurse, and then you decided. What was your deciding factor? It was always the plan, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So you waited till the right time.
So I knew, again, even as sitting in those classes for the post-bac, I was planning to be an OBGYN. I didn't know how that was going to manifest, but like, that was my goal. I always wanted to put myself in a position where I could help other people. And I thought, like, what is the most pivotal time of life? And like, birth, just something spoke to me. Even as a kid, like, I was that kid who was excited about seeing birth in our science class. Everyone else was like, ew, you know, we had to watch it.
Yeah.
But I was just like, this is magical.
Yeah.
So that's
so dope.
Yeah. So
no,
I knew.
It is. Because you have to. I love Crystal, ER. I no way I would honestly ask
me
how
either.
I didn't even like to. I would peek my head in. Y'all good?
Yeah. Yeah.
I need anything.
Like,
so I didn't have no clue what's going on outside the hospital, outside the ER.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's just really good, I think, when people get into their lane.
Real calling, yeah.
Because they're better at everything. Like, right. You know, your support for mm-hmm. the women, your mm-hmm. for the babies, everything is better absolutely. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And you're not led by, like, monetary compensation right. or things like that. Yeah. So I just think it's so dope. Okay, yeah. So you become mm-hmm. a midwife, mm-hmm. and then how did you veer into the entrepreneurship? What was your, matter sure. of fact, hold on. Mm-hmm. When did you, because you wanted to deliver babies. Right. And that's where you're laying. Right. So you accomplished that.
Yeah.
Why go to the next
part? Well, let me back up a little okay. bit. So in nursing school, this is 2007,
okay.
I received a gift of this vision of a birth center. Mm. Never stepped in one, never really heard about it per se. Mm-hmm. I drew it out. It's on my office wall, so I can always remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And all the modalities that would have to come with it. Like, I want a nutritionist there. I want a therapist. I want people to be able to come and exercise, to cook. Like, I want this full, like, scope of care for birthing people and their families mm-hmm. in this one place,
mm-hmm.
never having stepped foot in it. So, like, I feel like that is a God-given thing. Give it to me, and I want to carry that through. So, again, knowing as I'm on this path in nursing school, this is where I started. So, mm-hmm. Once I got into nursing school, excited about OB, and then when I went to midwifery school, again, that vision is still there. I know what I want to do with it. And so I was just like, okay, they kind of, as a certified nurse midwife, because there are different types of midwives, I won't get into that, but as a certified nurse midwife, in our profession, in our educational training, mm-hmm. they kind of breed you to be like a hospital-based midwife.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really, and this is not every program, so please just take it with mm-hmm. a grain of salt, but mm-hmm. They really foster you in like a busy, fast-paced clinic and then hospital setting.
Yeah.
And so I knew going in, I worked the same place where I did my clinicals.
Mm-hmm.
I knew after I left, like, or as I was there, I said, you know, this is temporary. We're not going to be doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
So remember to come out. And
that's
I,
what you said to yourself.
Yes.
Remember
to come out. Remember to come out because the money. Let's not lie.
Yeah.
California nurse midwives will make more than anybody else in the country.
Mm.
Massachusetts might be. I'm from there, so might be a little bit behind. Texas and Florida, I believe, might be some of the top contenders for mm-hmm. payment. But there is a large corporation that pays certified nurse midwives very, very well. Mm-hmm. So you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say where, but they pay them very, very well. And it is easy to get caught up in that. However, the 40 hours a week, they want your soul.
Mm-hmm.
They want your soul. So ironically enough, year 5 for me just about was 2020.
Mm.
And I feel like that was a nudge for me to be like, hey, remember you said you were going to come out?
Mm.
I could no longer stay there. Yeah. There's a few pivotal things that happened. A pandemic, the social unrest, George Floyd,
mm-hmm.
And then also which prompted Black patients to come into the hospital saying, I'm begging not to die here. And there was one particular patient that I had an experience with, which led to an altercation or a doesn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
That really made me realize.
And for those who are listening to the podcast,
yeah.
Ayanna is African American.
Okay. Oh yeah,
go ahead. Because not everybody's on YouTube.
That's right. Sorry, I am a Black midwife, a unicorn, but we are amazing. Anyways, so those three things that I listed, I hope that was three, were really the push to say, okay, it's time. Like. It's time. So the doors opened for me to work with a birth center in LA. So I was driving from Riverside to LA.
Which is about, for those who are not from Cali, is about 60 miles?
60 yeah.
miles.
I would say, yeah, the drive for me on the way there was probably about an hour and change. The drive on the way back,
mm-hmm.
2.5,
mm-hmm.
depending on the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
So spent some time with some really wonderful midwives. Who like loved on me knowing that I wanted to like come out into this like the community birth setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then also some local midwives were really investing in me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, things just kind of started to snowball and mm-hmm. I was like, well, it's time. So open up the practice. I have a home birth practice called the Village House Inc.
Can you say that a little slower? So
sure. It's the Village House Inc.
Okay.
Or incorporated. the Village House, because it takes a village to raise a family. I've had some really wonderful clients. And I want to like really pinpoint to the beauty of entrepreneurship is I can actually choose who I see. Okay? Like, so if it doesn't align, if there's something going on in my life where I can't, you know, be there the way I want to be there, I can say like, now's not the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's one of the beautiful parts. And so it's allowed me to really foster great connections with people, mm-hmm. you know, just from this practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crystal, I've been hogging. I really could keep on talking. Go ahead and ask some questions, girl, because I'm just like, this is dope.
I was going to say for the listeners how me and Diana met was we took a IV hydration course
together.
I think it was announced like, oh, you know, go network, and this is for, you know, new entrepreneurs. Like, mm-hmm.
And this is a little plug for y'all. This is why it's important to network.
Yes. Okay. And we met, and that was how many years? That was like
2019.
When
I had my
You were pregnant. She was fully pregnant.
Yeah, I was peeped at from the side of the room.
And we connected. We rode from the airport together. And then have her know who you're going to be at these networking events.
Absolutely.
And to see her grow. And now you just have your birthing center, which I'm so excited for that to come, but you're doing home births now. But you also have an amazing community on social called the Vagina Chronicles.
Joke, because like I had some friends who were like, you know, what's going on? I was like, you know, another day in the life of the Vagina Chronicles, like this is my life. And then I just used it as my name. So yeah, I've been doing that since 2018. I think we're 5 or 6 years in, and it's really become a place of education, support, empowerment, place for people to connect, and then also like that's all, you know, brought some business my way as well, which I haven't like explicitly marketed towards people, but like they have found me via this platform. So yeah, it's been quite interesting.
I'm sorry. Stuff like this gives me so excited. I can't even explain it. Like I really feel like a visceral. I feel excited. Yeah. Let me tell you why. So I want to unpack something. Mm-hmm. Like you started as a nurse, then you became a midwife. You already knew you wanted to do that, but you had already identified a divine message that you knew you had to at some point. Mm-hmm. You didn't do it like, oh, I got to do it in 12 months or like 3 years. Yeah. Like you let life take its course, but you never forgot that. And I think that's powerful because a lot of people, a lot of people have that, received that, and they've ignored it. They said, there's no way. How would I be able to do that? But instead so you good. Wrote, right.
Okay.
Money, I'm getting paid. Right. And like, or I just can't. I don't have I'm not a doctor. Right. I'm not an OB doctor. Right. Like I can't. Right.
No, you can't.
In your case, it would be that they would have said, okay, I'm not an OB or I'm not a this. Right. Mm-hmm. But they got it. And instead of receiving it and at least making it, you say, write it and make it plain, right?
I'm getting goosebumps right now because that is how my life has really just gone. If I write it down, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, I will say right now at this point, the birth center, it's not like I don't have my questions. Mm-hmm. Like, how is this going to happen? How are we going to get funded? Mm-hmm. Who's going to work for me? All of these things.
But can we talk? Okay. So which takes me to the next part. It's like, okay, so you wrote it and then you never forgot it.
No.
Although you start working for the Golden Handcuffs, right? And so you work for the Golden Handcuffs, but you reminded yourself, don't forget what you're going to do.
Well,
I think that's powerful. Don't forget about the vision. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that this is an ends to a means right now, but we're still going to do this.
Right.
And you still gave yourself time. And I think the underlying, like underpinning thing here is that you never forgot and you believed in that vision. You did not have to know. And I know you're still growing, but the point is you don't have to know all the how. When you ask how, you literally are blocking.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer.
Well, I need the word to say.
And I'm a believer. I'm really at this point where I'm like really growing in my Bible too. And I'm just like, that is the biggest obstacle that we put because you know, your our God is way bigger than your how. Like that's not like, so for you to do that, you've blocked yourself.
Right.
And I think you, I don't know, it, maybe it is a word for you, mm-hmm. because I believe that he mm-hmm. divinely comes to me and I'd be like, girl, did you know?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But you've done so much. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. you have this, you know, Black moms and the birth and the death, the mortality rates mm-hmm. in having and birthing children. Mm-hmm. I think it's now starting to get traction a lot more.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Especially since the, since
2019, 2020, this is when these, mm-hmm. these things kind of popped up.
Yes, absolutely. And, what, her cousin, the nurse healer's cousin who passed away at Sentinella Hospital, I forget her name. That was mm-hmm. big recently. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this all is happening and you're Black birth. Yeah. Like, I'm just
positive,
saying.
Positive, powerful, and healing.
It's
absolutely.
It's divinely, mm-hmm. I believe, time.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the impact that you're going to have is so much mm-hmm. greater than Thank just, you. And this is why we say, you guys, it's not about money.
Right.
Like, it really isn't. Yeah. It's about you following mm-hmm. what has been placed in you and seeded in you, right. but giving it time to grow mm-hmm. and you just continue to cultivate it. You stay obedient and it's going to continue to be revealed as you go.
Right.
But this right here mm-hmm. is so necessary. Like, mm-hmm. and I say this too, because I'm a grandma.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
All right. My daughter just had a baby and yes, on March
Congratulations.
The 2nd. And honestly, I was worried. Mm. I couldn't have that conversation with her. She's like, Mom, everything will be okay, right? I'm like, yes, but inside, I'm like, dang, like she's she's at increased risk.
Right. Absolutely.
I know that, you know, that this is a concern. So I have to be there.
Yeah.
And it's not, and I think it's something that could be impacted positively mm-hmm. by more people like you who are following their gift.
Yeah.
So can you talk about that? That was just something I wanted to, because I'm loving this.
Absolutely. So I think I want to start with saying, like, Black birth is possible, just like the shirt says, but also we can have, like, redemption and healing birthing processes. Like, because what the narrative right now so much is, oh, we're at this much risk, and which is facts.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
again, I feel like also systems are designed to distract you from the goal and mm-hmm. from parts of the truth.
Okay.
And so it's important for us to know that there are wonderful Black births that happen in and out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there are also some really traumatic, mm-hmm, harmful mm-hmm. things that are happening to Black people in the hospital system and outside of it as well. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
And so I'm dedicating my time to this to make sure that our community feels safe and mm-hmm. loved and cared on. And what happens, I find, with a lot of Black midwives is we are not only providing care, but as Black women, we are providing this exceptional care because we've always been pushed, you know, it's been ingrained in us and we've had to go the extra mile. So we are always providing this care that goes above and beyond. And so we're thorough with what we do. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, like, the same things that I was doing in the hospital, I'm offering to my patients at home. We're not just, like, walking through this, like, oh, chill, like, we're just gonna blah, blah, blah. No. Like, we need to know some things. Like, let's use the tools and resources that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but also with that measure of choice, which often is not given to you in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You are being told and dictated what you need to do,
That's
where
so
you need
true.
To go, how you're gonna have your baby, when you're gonna have your babies, and position all this stuff, and what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. Yes, there's some things we need to, like, be mindful of, but, like, I'm gonna give you the information and then you make the choice based off of the risk of what you know, the benefits, why we're doing it, etc., and then we go from there.
Yeah.
So there's always that option for choice in the matter of your care. There's, you know, I have to check myself too, because when I do walk into the hospital space, sometimes you revert back to what's surrounding you. Mm. And it's like, even things like letting a patient walk around. Who am I to tell you if you can or can't? You got the legs, like, let's do it. If there's a risky time, okay, well, let's say this is a risky time. Like, this is why I would prefer for you to, like, maybe be in a different position or like try something else. But, like, a normal low risk person who is having their baby in the hospital, they can get in the shower, they can move around. Like, people are afraid of birth. And I think that's, and also, like, physicians are trained to be surgeons and experts at high risk care.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trained to be experts at low risk care, the majority. And I'm not saying that there aren't that are wonderful at it. But when you look at physiological birth and how people just go through that, you know, we don't need to put our hands on a whole lot of things. And that's what's happening. So there's a lot of giving people back their, and even saying giving back, because I never took it away, but like helping you to remember that you have your own autonomy, and then being an advocate for you is like huge for me. So, yeah.
I'm waiting on this because she knows I will keep going.
Yeah, so I was just thinking what you just said, because having my second on the floor.
Oh my gosh. Over,
oh yeah.
You gotta tell the story real quick.
Not much needs to be touched. Like, Crystal was like, she went from like long labor.
Very long.
I'm gonna wait it out. Story the first time to I had a home birth that I did not plan.
Yes. Did not plan. And never thought I would even be considered like a home birth or anything like that. But now seeing how it went.
Well, you gotta tell the listeners now.
Oh yeah. Really quick timers. My first birth was 30 something hours induced. All the things. She came 2 weeks late. The second one, I wanted to wait out, do the whole thing. I'm a nurse. I'm not going to the hospital for them to tell me to go home. So contraction started. I text my best friend. I was like, I think I'm having contractions, because before I was induced, so I didn't really know what that kind of felt like.
Yeah.
And from that text until her coming out was 2 hours, the whole thing. So I was thinking it was going to be maybe 8 hours, like longer, but not as, you know, not that short. So I was taking a bath, and my aunt's like, what are you doing? You're awesome. I'm like, auntie, you're stop.
It's fine.
I'm contracting, laughing. I'm like, stop it. And then
that is such a blessing.
It went from 0 to 60. Luckily, I did have a friend who was... who came over, who was an OB nurse. She was going to meet me at the hospital, and she FaceTimed me, and she was like, you don't look good. I'm coming to the house. And right as she got there, she checked me, and she was like, okay, we have two options. You can either call 911, where they would take me to the hospital I worked at. That wasn't going to happen. Okay. The ER, that wasn't going to happen.
You're like, no. y'all don't know what to do with babies.
Exactly.
Either.
She was like, or you can have her right here. And I was like, right here. So she directed my husband, who was running around doing God knows what at the time, packing the car. So he's, I don't know what he was doing. And I had the birth.
At home.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, there it is. Wow. And that's it. Like, we don't really have to meddle with the things
really
that
don't.
Are. Yeah. If it's going in the right direction, the times I wouldn't say have to, but the times that we intervene is when something is awry. Like, why aren't we progressing? Is your baby in the right position? Are you stable as a patient? You know, all these things. And you know, the beauty of midwifery is knowing when these things are not going. You have to know what normal, let's say physiological, looks like to know when it's not that way. You were by all accounts on the right path.
Yes. And so you built this business around much that your philosophy, core philosophy when it comes to birthing, and then you to women of color,
right?
And from a business perspective, and you can tell me, I know nothing about this space on purpose, by the way, but like, what I feel like, you know, from a business perspective, this is women, Black women are looking for you.
Absolutely.
Like, what is the marketing? I feel like you really don't have to
market that,
because now it's out. Like, TikTok definitely has gotten it out of how we are. And I know it's not everywhere.
Yeah.
By the way, I had a good birth for my son and my last two. So I know it's not, but it is concerning when you look at the numbers.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They're seeking you out. So what is like the business side of it, would you say?
Yeah. And also to your point about like the mortality and morbidity of all, the numbers change from state to state. So New York has higher numbers of mortality than California does, and Texas, Florida, you know, so you have to think about all those things as well. But as far as the business is concerned, midwifery isn't known to be where the money resides, if you will. It's possible.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I bet.
And when I say that, I mean, again, your private practice.
Yeah.
Because what do most people have? Insurance.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I when I first started my journey in midwifery, working in the hospital, I felt so down and like discouraged, because I thought I was supposed to be in this community, like doing these home births all around. And, you know, a friend of mine was like, hey, no, you know, people have insurance and they're coming in the hospital to find you, you know, and you can help them navigate. And that's what I've done. Like, you know, I might see someone at a networking event, like a baby sponsored event, maybe a community baby shower, and it's just they'll walk up to me and pregnant, whatever. Oh, I don't like my provider. Oh, where you go? Where do you go to get care? Happens to be at the hospital I work at. Oh, so tell me the name of your provider. provider, let me see if you're okay with it. Maybe I can get you in with someone else. Mm-hmm. And like, you help people navigate the system, okay. You know. But when it comes to outside, mm-hmm. It can be lucrative, but we are mostly under private pay because insurance companies do not compensate mm-hmm. at the rate that midwives, you know,
The hospital setting.
Absolutely.
So, but wait a minute, because mm-hmm. even cash pay, like, mm-hmm. I guess
you the sad part itself. About it is it would be a certain market that you would have to target mm-hmm. for the cash payers, mm-hmm. which means that the most vulnerable who really need you the most, right. And that sucks.
Right, right. And I mean, there are ways around that too. Scholarships that we, you know, funds that we raise so that like people can, yeah, so, yeah,
and stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay. So that we can allow for someone to have the birth that they're looking for, mm-hmm. Or even like someone might want a hospital birth still, mm-hmm. and so I'm giving them supplemental care, so they're getting that extra love and attention that they won't get in 15 minutes yeah. when you go to your doctor's office yeah. Or the midwife in the hospital's mm-hmm. office, right? So like there are ways to kind of help people out in a way that, you know, hopefully can meet their financial needs. But I think also I want to speak to like our Black community as well,
yeah.
just as much as you say for that bag. Just as much you say for your vacation, your wedding, you should have your birth money on file.
Ooh, like, that's a good one.
Like, save it away. Like, why not? Why not? If you think you want to be in the home birth space, find out the rates in your community, because it does vary from community to community. Mm-hmm. Find out what the rates are and, like, save your expenses for that, yeah. because you're going to need that,
well,
you know?
How much is a home birth?
If we're talking about inland, if our area, Riverside, i.e., anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 mm-hmm. is probably what people will pay. Mm-hmm. Out here in LA, you can probably go up as high as $10,000 yeah, for some people. Okay. It just depends on, again, the city, areas. The area, what the rate is. You
That's
know.
A whole professional coming to you.
Yeah.
To provide comfortable care for you and
in your home. Maybe in your home. Yeah, so some people have an office. I'm still in a place where I see people in their homes. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so I'm coming to you and I spend like 45 minutes. That's the bare minimum. Like I'm usually there for at least an hour, mm-hmm. Sometimes more. And the more you get to see somebody, they become like family. Yeah. They become, because what I tell people in consultation is like, I have to trust you just as much as you trust me, mm-hmm. because you need to be able to do the things that you do to make sure that this is, you know, we get to the goal that you want as best mm-hmm. as possible. Mm-hmm. So like we, you know, I get to know your family. I get to know your dog. Like I get to know, you know, yeah. your, whoever else is in there that you want as a part of this journey. Mm-hmm. I'm doing labs in your home. I'm sending them off. I'm sending you to get an ultrasound if that's what you want to do. I'm setting up a tub in your home. Like we're navigating the space to see if this is appropriate for you to have your baby here. Mm-hmm. So like I'm not just like in and out in 15 minutes. Yeah. I'm there with you for some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not paying for like, you know, right. quick in and out. You're paying for the good quality care that we're giving you. Yes, you know,
absolutely. It's really the peace of mind. It's unfortunate that a lot of people who need it the most probably wouldn't be willing to do it. I think that's the sad part about it because they, I mean, like you said, you could save for it, you could prepare for mm-hmm. it if that's what you want to do. But right. I think that a lot of the ones who are the most concerned really especially should make the investment.
Absolutely.
Like I wouldn't even think twice about it. Tarae, my daughter, she wanted to have a doula,
mm-hmm.
but I was just worried the doula wasn't licensed. It was just this person was through experience, I guess,
right.
of
yeah.
delivery. So I was just not.
There's no certification confident. For
yeah.
national. So and to make it clear for your listeners and for your viewers, there's a difference between a doula and a midwife.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a doula is not necessarily a medical
nurse
professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also midwives are not all nurses. So mm-hmm. some of them don't have hospital experience either. So you have to vet your midwives.
Midwives are not all nurses?
There are several. Midwife is an umbrella term. So.
Tell me something. Said she didn't
so if I were to give you
this, right?
Yeah, come to the Vagina Chronicles, I'll tell you more about it.
Right.
But midwife is an umbrella term for several different things. So you have certified nurse midwife, you have a certified professional midwife, you have certified midwife, and then you have traditional midwives. So the latter three do not necessarily have to have a nursing background, and they also will not get privileged or credentialed in the hospital system. So these are the majority of home birth midwives practicing in the community. I just happened to have been a nurse and went this route because that's what
I knew to take, and became a certified nurse midwife. So, you know, if the nursing portion and having someone who has seen what can happen in the hospital is important to you, then you should look for a certified nurse midwife. If we go deep dive, going back a little bit in history, we brought these traditions and how to care for mothers and families with us from Africa to here.
And even during slavery.
Absolutely. And and in the Deep South, what was happening was midwives were carrying these families. They're hopping from community to community on a horse, on foot, all of these things to care for these communities. And then the government steps in and says, well, we want to build hospitals, 1930s, 1940s, and you're killing babies. This is just an assumption, which was actually not fact. And so they come in and say, well, you need to be trained. And you need to be trained by public health nurses. So then you see the division between certified professional midwife who doesn't have the nurse training to certified nurse midwife. And there's still tension between these sides today, but that again is a distraction from the goal at hand. They were saving lives back at that time. And that's what needs to happen now. And so when we get this, like, you know, this tension, this cattiness or whatever, we're distracted from the point of it all, which is like, we're here to serve the community and help people through this process. So just a little tidbit. There's a wonderful book called Delivered by Midwives. If anyone's really interested and wants to deep dive, it's great. And it tells you a little bit more about the history of midwives in America. So
I think they could, I mean, from the way you just explained it, I could see how there could be a positive impact, though, especially when it comes to Black births.
Absolutely.
Especially.
Yeah.
Having that midwife, whether it's certified or not, I think.
Yeah. And then as to speak again, sorry, to the doula portion, there are really wonderful doulas who haven't done any like super formal training. Their experience kind of is their, you know, their backing.
Well, Erica Badu is a doula, right?
She is.
She is, absolutely.
But like anyone could essentially become a doula. There are trainings out there. Our birth worker community in the IE called Sankofa.
I know about Sankofa.
You do? Yes. We're having an event coming up soon too. But they, a few of the leaders of that community have doula trainings, and it's Black centered. So we've trained in the high desert. We've trained in Riverside. We're going to be training in Coachella Valley to get like more Black doulas involved, and it's reliable people teaching this information. There are other organizations that are harmful out there. I won't name names. You'll probably know who it is if you're in the birth space, but that are not teaching correct information and actually telling people the wrong thing about what's happening with our Black community. So it's wonderful that you have someone who's gonna speak to your community and the people that you're gonna serve, right? So yeah. The doula thing, you know, it's new. People are not familiar. I get the question all the time. You're a midwife? Oh, so you're a doula. No.
It's really ignorance. I know it's ignorance on my part. Like I said, it's like at the beginning, I'm ignorant.
To learn about it,
I didn't know all of these differentiations. It makes sense, though, but I and I was like, doula, I didn't feel comfortable, so I was like, I couldn't tell her, like, go away. I don't know. Yeah, like, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate you clarifying and explaining that to me.
Yeah. But you were there in her experience.
Oh, yeah.
So you were a doula for her. Like, a doula is someone who is a coach, a birth coach for this person, you know, during this time. So you're doing the work.
I'm a doula. I'm a doula.
In your own right.
That's it. You know? Good. I didn't leave her side. Like, I was very much so involved in her whole process.
Absolutely.
So, and it felt good to be there for her and be able to advocate for her. But that was good.
Yeah.
Well, Crystal, I think we need another part too, bro. We didn't really tackle business.
Oh, I know.
But I feel like this is very important because it goes back full circle to definitely talking about your vision and you just really being obedient. I think most of you guys as nurses are, I read a scripture that was talking about idolatry and basically a lot of us, and I feel like I did it too, just like not realizing it, but idolizing like money. And so you become a slave to it because you know what you're going to get in 2 weeks, or you know what you're going to get when you work that extra shift, you know what you're going to get, right?
Yeah.
But really, if you're obedient to your purpose, the abundance just overflows, you know? And so I think that's the big takeaway from you.
Yeah,
and this this podcast today.
I was like, what angle are we going to take?
As an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. you've connected like being obedient, but mm-hmm. also being connected to a higher power, like mm-hmm. connecting to an impact that you're going to make
Absolutely.
On a specific community. Mm-hmm. And you may not have had all of the ducks lined up yeah. and, you know, everything, but you were obedient and you didn't make time mm-hmm. the reason why you couldn't do it. Like, right. you didn't allow yourself yeah. to get caught up. Yeah. You made a commitment mm-hmm. and you stuck to it. And I'm sure there's a lot more growth that's going to happen mm-hmm. for you, but I think that's the biggest takeaway for those who are listening. Yeah. Who are watching the podcast, yeah. like, you've been given already a mm-hmm. vision and you've ignored it. Mm-hmm. And it could have been before you were ever even a nurse. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah. a lot of times we ask the wrong question, which is how, instead of just being obedient yeah. to it.
Just
so that's it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, Ayana,
yes.
if you could tell everyone where they can find you.
Absolutely.
If you have any, where you're birthing. I know you do home births, but like mm-hmm. how they can connect with you, like sure. your website or anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give us all the deets.
Absolutely. So if you're looking for a little fun and education, you can follow me on Instagram at The Vagina Chronicles. like that. Right. Also, I have a website there as well. So thevaginachronicles.org. So
okay.
.org. For speaking engagements, anything, classes, anything like that, you can contact me there. And then for birth and midwifery services, that is at the Village House, and the website is villagehousewellness.com.
Okay.
So if you have questions, you want to reach out, that's the place to find me.
I love it. Yeah. And really quickly, the Vagina Chronicles, just like a one-liner, what is the angle? Like, is it are you trying to educate people mm-hmm. about their vagina?
Yeah.
Are you talking about birth?
Everything
related to
yeah,
vagina.
Birth, GYN care, organological care, midwifery care, and what that means to be a midwife. So we kind of like, hit a few different points, but my tagline for a lot while was providing the facts, breaking the myths, and talking about all things vagina.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, that's what we do over there.
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You can find me in the stories every morning. Yes. It's another black morning because my life is a black life every day.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn about that, that's on there too.
Thanks
for coming.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Another amazing, dope podcast, y'all. As always, we're bringing the dope nurses who are doing dope and amazing things in our industry and even outside of our industry and impacting lives. So if you are an entrepreneur or you know a nurse entrepreneur, y'all, make sure y'all continue to tune in. Don't gatekeep. Share the podcast. We have so much more coming. Ayana, thank you. I knew it. See, I told you.
It's okay. It's all right.
Thank you so much for being authentic, genuine, but also you don't even know how many people I can guarantee you that you've inspired on your journey.
Yes.
So keep crushing it.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. Until next time. Bye.